You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host, Nick Schreck, joining you for the Week 16 DFS preview. And guys, we know it's out of character, but we decided to forgo the recap, to forgo the traditional previews, because it's Week 16, baby, which means you're in a championship, you're in a consolation matchup. I hope you've tuned in if you're in a consolation matchup. To the episode we recently put out with some starts, sits, and safe guys. Sounds like a weird topic. We get it. But I did that solo cast purely because a lot of leagues depend on where you finish for draft order for the following year. And it should be a sense of pride, guys. You know, you don't want to be the team that always finishes in 8th, 9th, whatever. Again, usually 8 and 9 are probably pretty set, or 11 and 12, but you want to finish as close to the top, get that good draft pick for 2020. Don't mail it in. Keep the heart in it, guys. You're almost to the finish line. And if you're in a championship, you should be sending in personalized questions and advice. That podcast is not for you, because you need to look at your team on the whole scale to get that right advice if you're asking us or anybody a championship week. So without further ado, I'm here to talk about some guys for DFS. I've had some success. I'm not going to pretend to be a DFS god, but these are some guys that I like, that I dislike, that I think are priced right or mispriced and offer some opportunity. So I'm going to hit a few guys. Again, another short, quick 10, 12, 15-minute podcast for you, and we'll get you guys ready for Week 16. Remember, we've got the games on Saturday, so that means you need to be tapped in and ready to fucking rock and roll. So we're excited with you. Hope you win some money, and we hope you're in the championship. Maybe you can win some DFS money and then win the big bucks from the championship matchup. But either way, guys, let's jump into it, and let's kick it off at the quarterback position, as we always do. If you want to pay up, Lamar Jackson is always a good pick. Lamar Jackson against the Cleveland Browns, they rank 12th worst in fantasy points allowed per dropback. They're giving up 3.9 rushing fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. It's the second most in the league. Lamar Jackson's averaging 28 fantasy points per game on FanDuel, guys. That's 6 fantasy points and 27% more than the next closest eligible quarterback. He's only 11% more expensive than the next closest QB, which is actually a nice little stat that comes courtesy of Pro Football Focus. So if you're looking for that QB, if you want to pay up, obviously a great option. Interesting stat here, guys, on Dak Prescott. He gets the Philadelphia Eagles. He has 10 games with 18-plus fantasy points or more. Only trails Michael Thomas, Christian McCaffrey, and Lamar Jackson this season. I don't think you can... I don't think you can necessarily spend the money on him. He is the 5th expensive quarterback this week. He scored 21.6 fantasy points against them in Week 7. They had the blowout, 37-10. He had 7 passes in the second half. On DraftKings, I think he's a good price. On FanDuel, with a salary play, I don't know if you can make him work. He does have a shoulder injury. I expect him to go, but if that does concern you, I can understand wanting to avoid it. Russell Wilson is an incredible tournament play this week, guys. Arizona's giving up the most fantasy points per game to opposing QBs. Seattle is the highest implied point total of the week. Tyler Lockett is supposedly healthy. And we talk about the opportunity there for Tyler Lockett and for the Seahawks in the Week 16 start and sit for consolation matchups. So definitely something to go with. I have a feeling Walsh is going to be all over Fear the Greer, Mr. Will Greer. He's priced at only $4,300, guys, which is essentially nothing for what you're asking for him to return. So if you want to throw your QB to the wind, not a bad place to look. Could be fun, but maybe mix him into some lineups and move some money elsewhere if you're going to do that. At running back, guys, DeAndre Washington gets the Los Angeles Chargers. Oh, I'm sorry. In week 14, Josh Jacobs' only other missed game, Washington scored 21.6 fantasy points. With Jacobs out again, I think it's a top 15 matchup, and I don't have his exact price in front of me, but I think he is a great option against the Chargers, one that I'm going to try and force into my lineups just a little bit. Marlon Mack, guys, we hit on the start and sit. Obviously, he's probably owned by some championship teams, but he needs to be in your lineups if you can kind of make that money work. It's just such a good matchup this week against Carolina. They are just fucking terrible. I think he's a lock, and I'll make him fit into my lineups with that indie defense against Carolina because they are just pitiful. And for running back, I mean, there's a bunch of guys, right? Austin Eckler, I still think, is going to be just fine. Before Melvin Gordon, he was averaging 26.8 fantasy points per game. He's down to 17.2 since he has returned. Melvin Gordon fumbled twice last week, guys, so he was benched for pretty much the whole third quarter. I think Eckler benefits from this. Maybe he's still punished a little bit. I don't know, but I think it's a good matchup. Oakland's giving up the fourth most receiving fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. That means fantasy points for Austin Eckler. That means hopefully a bunch of balls caught for him. I also own him in season long, so I am biased and hoping for the best. But again, nonetheless, I think something to consider. I think the only other one I'm going to hit, guys, Joe Mixon. He gets the Miami Dolphins. And Mixon has looked fantastic after what was essentially almost a cuttable performance to start the year. He totaled 186 yards against the Browns in Week 14. In Week 15 against New England, who was good. He had 156 total yards, the most they've allowed all year. He seems to have finally found his groove. The Dolphins give up the most rushing yards per game to opposing running backs. They're averaging 126 points. One, a great value on DraftKings, and I think, again, you look to get him in your lineup if you can. Let's talk wide receiver really quick, guys. Amari Cooper against the Philadelphia Eagles, wow, have gotten better against the pass. I got to think the opportunity is there. Cooper ranks top six in fantasy points per game on all throws, traveling 15 or more yards through the air. Philadelphia ranks bottom six by the same stat. So I think there's an opportunity for him to blow up against an Eagles defense that ranks worst in fantasy points allowed to opposing wide receivers. I also understand that he also could go for one for 9 yards and be a bum. So you have to understand the risk, obviously, if you do go with Amari Cooper. Probably a little rich for my vote on FanDuel. He's priced at wide receiver 3. DraftKings, he's around wide receiver 7 or 8. So a little more flexibility. Tyler Boyd, averaging 9 targets and 13 fantasy points per game, excluding games, I'm sorry, that Ryan Finley started. He gets a great matchup against the Dolphins, worst graded secondary, and there's no reason to believe that that's going to stop anytime soon. Tyler Boyd into lineups wherever you can make it work. A guy that – I'm going to skip him, actually. I wanted to talk about Terry McLaurin for a minute because he's a guy that I feel like has been frustrating to at times predict and really analyze what we think is going to happen here. He gets the New York Giants, right? He's the guy that's accounted for 33% of his team's passing yardage. The problem is that they're only averaging 192.6 passing yards per game. So, rough math, 33% of that's about 65 yards. Again, loose math. Hit a great matchup last week. He went for 24 fantasy points. He gets the Giants, who are ranked third worst in fantasy points per game, to opposing wide receivers, wide receiver ones. So the Giants are also without Janoris Jenkins. I think McLaurin has a really, really nice week here. And he's priced at wide receiver 18 on FanDuel, wide receiver 14 on DraftKings. Good opportunities. Somebody to look into. That's all I'm going to talk about on wide receivers, guys. Again, we're going to be about 12 minutes here. Some other options, but it is what it is. Tight end, my boy, Hoop Daddy, Austin Hooper, getting the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's the 8th highest priced tight end on DraftKings. Same with FanDuel. He's almost $2,000 cheaper than Zach Ertz. But he's averaging 7 targets per game, guys. And no Calvin Ridley. He gets a ton of looks, I think, here from Matt Ryan, who I also think is a good, cheaper streaming QB option than I think people give him credit for. Let me pull that stat back up I had on him. Where did he go? I had a good number. Over the last 5 weeks, QBs against Jacksonville are outscoring their season average by 4.2 fantasy points per game. So I think that bodes well for Hoop Daddy, and that bodes well for Matt Ryan. So definitely some opportunity there. Guys, again, on the start-sit for consolation matchups, I can't push for you enough to listen to. It's brief, just like this, 15 minutes. Jacob Hollister at tight end against the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona is giving up a league-high 19.7 fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends. There's no reason to believe he can't do it here with Russell Wilson, obviously, at the helm against the Arizona Cardinals. I don't know why you wouldn't try to make him fit into your lineup. I don't have his price in front of me. That's kind of it. I don't think there's anybody else that I'm going to roll the dice on a tight end unless my lineup is just so stuffed elsewhere that I need to dig some names out of. But again, those are just got some guys I like, some great stats, all coming courtesy of Pro Football Focus. We give them credit and shout out because they are the fucking guys. They kill it. But if you guys are looking for some DFS or other lineup advice, guys, shoot it over to us. If you're in championship, send us your lineups and some of your advice. We want to give you some custom feedback or as best personalized feedback as we can before it is too late before game time. But ultimately, guys, DFS, get those lineups in. Get ready for a Saturday of football. Get ready for a Sunday of football. We are ready to rock and roll. And keep your ears peeled for a Saturday morning 7 a.m. drop of episode 300 of Let's Talk Fantasy Football, guys. We are pumped. We can't wait to share it with you. And it's a lot of fun. It is a Let's Talk Fantasy Football that you guys have known to come and you've known to love. And we're excited to talk matchups and just disappointments on the year, the best picks, best buys, and some things to look forward to. We talk about the drafts for 2020, where some of these guys may rank, where they may end up moving upwards so drastically. We're going to see a lot of moving QB pieces, we think, this offseason. And we're going to try and keep the podcast going year-round, guys. So we're excited for that. But most importantly, good luck this weekend. Get your DFS lineup set. And for those consolation and championship matchups, listen to the other podcast and get ready for episode 300. And with that, guys, I leave you. I am Nick Schreck. We are Let's Talk Fantasy Football. We will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.